That damn Cyclops, he's got Alien all confused and wanting to go against how we've always been. If we don't stand up for what we believe, then we're sure as shit gonna be under the one-eyed bastard's thumb. We won't be us anymore. Is that what you want? Or do you want to fight with us?
The Chief Armorer narrowed her eyes, trying hard to assimilate all that Harvey had said. Was that what the meeting had been about? But if so, then why would Ryan Cotter's people want to take control and change things? She thought about their aid in the battle against Sontvogel, and more importantly, she thought of J.B. Dix. Maybe it was just the way the man seemed to be like her with weapons, but she figured that he was good people. It didn't figure. Donna delayed, just that little too long for Jenna's liking. The dark mutie snapped the safety on her blaster. Her raven eyes glittered hatred.
She doesn't believe you, Harvey, and we can't afford to waste time.
She raised the Uzi as though to fire. It all happened in the same second. Suddenly, intuitively aware of the situation as her instincts broke through her confused thinking, aware only of the Uzi pointed at her, Donna drew the Springfield, snapping off a shot as her hand whipped around her body.
No!
Harvey yelled this at both the Chief Armorer and Jenna. He flung out an arm, snatching the Uzi from Jenna's grasp before she had a chance to pressure the trigger, and simultaneously pushing her from the path of the slug, which bit into the wall of the armory, raising a small cloud of dust. The crack of the Springfield was echoed a fraction of a second later by the roar of the Sec Chief's Colt Magnum Carry as the snub-nosed blaster spat its .357 load at the seated woman. In the fraction of a second of life she had left to her, Donna was acutely aware of great pain and a rapidly spreading numbness. Meanwhile, Jenna shot a venomous glance at her erstwhile lover and partner.
What the fuck did you do that for?
In the first place, I didn't want you chilled. And in the second, if you let that fucker loose even on controlled bursts in here, you're likely to hit some grins and blow us to hell.
Jenna's temper cooled rapidly as she fought to stay on top of the situation, and was able to see Harvey's point.
Okay, Harvey. So what's your great tactical plan?
We've got control of the armory. We get the hardware to those who are with us and keep the rest down. Chill them if necessary. Then we find Cyclops and Alien and blow them to fuck.
Jenna smiled a slow, evil smile.
What's that?
You'll see. Just get these weapons to our folk and then we'll be on our way.
What's the idea? Where are we going?
Sweetie, if you want total control of them, you have the total weapon. We need fear to still the opposition, keep them down and under us. Every strong society needs its menials. They stay menial by fear. So why don't you show me where Alien stored that little old bomb he got from Sunchild?
Jack came to a crossroads in the tunnels, then motioned back to his companions.
Coming this way! Back!
Ryan had sent the albino on slightly ahead of himself, changing his usual practice of leading the way. It seemed to the one-eyed warrior that Jack's ability to detect direction would be better employed leading until they had some idea of the situation in the center of the ville. In such a maze of passages and tunnels, Jack's ability to pinpoint sounds was a vital weapon. They had heard the pitched battle commence, and the occasional blaster fire told them that the armory hadn't yet been raided to a full extent. As they were all armed, apart from the Baron, this gave them an edge. Ryan handed the Baron his Sig Sauer as a defensive weapon, feeling that Alien would cope better with the hand blaster than with the Steyr. They had advanced this far without a pause, and with hardly a word between them. J.B. kept point as usual, Downey close to him. Blake was beside Ryan, following hard on Jack's lead. Strung out between them in the narrow tunnel were Christy, Dean, Alien, Mildred, and toward the rear, Doc. At Jack's command, they flattened against the tunnel wall, closing ranks so that they were ready to flank across the narrow space should an enemy round the corner. But it wasn't the enemy. Voices, indistinct, became clearer as they neared. The breathless voices of the twins.
Shit, bro. I hope we find them soon. Ain't nowhere else to fucking go, dude. They've gotta be around here somewhere. Sure as shit hope so. I think my lungs are gonna fucking burst.
The twins laughed despite themselves, talking hard but still keeping their pace. Ryan and Blake exchanged glances as the footsteps neared. The wizened sec man nodded, agreeing without the question even being voiced.
Hey, boys! Who you looking for?
The footsteps pulled up short.
Shit, Blake, where the fuck you been? We've been all over here looking for you. You got Ryan and his crew with you?
Maybe. What you boys wanting?
You, dude. You gotta get back, man, because all hell's broken loose. Harv and that bitch have got some sort of takeover going down. And we need all the help we can get.
Ryan and Blake exchanged glances once more.
You trust them?
With my life. Crazy fuckers, but too crazy to lie if they even wanted to.
Good enough for me.
Okay, we're coming out, boys.
Ryan and Blake stepped out simultaneously into the junction between the corridors, blasters ready as a precaution.
Whoa, dude, easy!
Ant and his twin held their shotguns away from their bodies.
I know what one of those fuckers can do, so excuse me being nervous.
Ant gestured with his free hand at JB's M4000, which Ryan had borrowed. The One-Eyed Warrior allowed himself a small grin as he lowered the M4000 and called for the rest of his party, including the Baron, to step out into the junction.
Okay, so fill us in.
The twins explained the situation, keeping it as concise as they could without contradicting each other too often. When they had finished, Ryan turned to the Baron.
Seems to me that most of your sec force want to take their chances with Harvey.
What's the state of play with the armory? Right now, only Sec and us have blasters. But if everyone on Harvey's side gets them...
He trailed off, feeling it unnecessary to go on. Ant shook his head.
I guess he's headed straight for it. But the problem the dude's got is that our side is between the armory and his side, you know?
Then he'll need another tool to bargain with.
By the three Kennedys, he wouldn't.
Mildred caught Doc's inference.
He might not, but I bet she would.
Alien looked at them blankly. He was a broken man, unable to focus on events. Ryan, on the other hand, had clicked into combat mode, and his mind was racing. He turned to Blake.
You take Downey and Alien and head for the center. Take Jack and Dean with you. They're good fighters, and you may need them.
The sec man nodded, glad that he would have Jack by his side.
And you?
We're going after Harvey and Jenna. Reckon they've gone for the nuke. Ant, Dee, you with us?
Bet your ass. Yeah, and whip that sorry mother Harv's ass.
With a brief farewell, the two forces parted company. Both headed for what they knew to be the final showdown. The area where the nuke was being stored was deserted. Alien had felt it unnecessary to mount a guard while he had the Ville meeting, and Harvey had been only too pleased to go along with that, wanting all his people concentrated. But the one thing he hadn't foreseen was the willingness with which Jenna would turn to the nuke as a bargaining tool. There was an almost eerie quiet about this part of the Ville. Away from the pitched battle, and on the other side of the tunnel and passage complex to where her lab was located, Jenna was certain that they would be left in peace until she had worked out how to arm the bomb.
Are you sure about this?
She opened a panel on the garishly painted side of the nuke, near the nose cone.
What's the problem, sweetie? Until I've actually examined this, I don't know for sure if it's even armed.
But what if it is?
She looked at him with an expression of complete calm that froze his blood.
Then if it is, I set it going.
Another nuke cost?
Of course not, you cretin. I set it going and then turn it off on the failsafe. When my idiot husband and the one-eyed fool have acquiesced to us. For fuck's sake, you don't think I'd be doing this if I couldn't stop it.
Yeah? How can I be so sure you even know how to get it going properly?
You know I can. You know I have the learning. After all, if you really thought I couldn't set it running, you wouldn't be shitting yourself right now, would you?
Harvey didn't answer. She was right. Jenna turned her attention away from her lover, and fully to the nuke. The old comp circuits were still in operation, and using codes she had learned from books and papers taken by her forefathers from the redoubt, she punched in a series of commands that told her that the nuke was armed and ready. She set the timer and punched in a sec code so that only she could turn it off. It was a sec code set by the original programmer of the missile from the redoubt, and was a name which she didn't recognize, but had memorized earlier.
There. That's done.
She smiled, standing back from the gaily colored instrument of destruction.
Good. Can we get the fuck out of here now?
Of course we can. We've got another little battle to win. I wonder how your people are doing right now.
She shrugged the Uzi off her shoulder and flicked the safety catch, switching the firing mechanism to short bursts.
One way to find out. Let's get the hell back to the Ville.
In the center, the battle had reached stalemate. Those Sec men and Ville dwellers who had sided with Alien were blocking the route to the armory. Although they outnumbered the opposition, they had fewer Sec men on their side, and so had fewer blasters, which evened things up. The battle had died down to a war of attrition, with both sides adopting a siege mentality. The occasional shot was fired, the occasional seized object thrown over the hastily erected barricades. But there were